Welcome to the Financial Management Magazine branded podcast, brought to you by SAP Concur. Today, we will be talking about mastering compliance with tips for ensuring expense, invoice, and VAT compliance. Our speakers are Katie Brown, Regional Sales Director at SAP Concur, and Brendan Cohen, Senior Business Development Manager at VAT IT.
Good afternoon. This is Katie Brown, Regional Sales Director here within SAP Concur. And I'm also joined by Brendan, so I'll let him introduce himself.
Hi, I'm Brendan. I've been with VAT IT for the last 6 years. And my remit is purely around SAP Concur and managing the partnership within EMEA.
Thanks, Brendan. So just to kind of jump straight in then, Brendan, according to the Aberdeen Group, around 57% of companies report that poor visibility into spending and compliance is the greatest travel and expense business pressure they experience. And I certainly hear this as a lot from our customers that I work here with in SAP Concur every single day. And I know in 2010, HMRC began a program of driving compliance and put significant investment behind the drive, specifically targeted to tackle avoidance, evasion and fraud. So we've had clients for whom a key reason for researching automation has been the objective of reducing their HMRC risk. And VAT is considered one of the most complicated areas, and with so many VAT rules in place, businesses are nervous about what they can and can't reclaim. So this means for a lot of organisations, they are leaving money on the table. And I wondered if this is something that you come across within your customers at VATIP, Brendan.
Katie, definitely. And just from analysis that we've done at VAT IT, we've seen that there's a lot of overclaiming and a lot of underclaiming. So I think in the climate that we're in, companies are very mindful of being 100% compliant, not to flag any VAT authorities. And then from a foreign VAT perspective, businesses have the complications of needing to deal with various VAT authorities. They need to speak the different languages, which would mean they need a multilingual processing center. Plus, there's a cultural aspect to consider in all of that. And it's also very time consuming and tedious. You need your teams working on the strategic side of the business, not really sitting behind a computer, filling in returns on a monthly and quarterly basis.
Okay. And I'd like to take the opportunity while I have you here as well, Brendan, being a VAT expert, I thought it would be great to get some answers to some of the most common questions that we tend to hear. So what types of related costs can we recover when we're travelling abroad?
Great question, Katie. I'll mention a few here, but these are obviously not limited to these. And firstly, when employees travel abroad, costs relating to rental cars, conferences, trade shows, hotels, marketing costs, fuel, professional fees, etc. And if you incur these costs from a legal representative in certain countries, if you're contracting certain types of work in different countries, restaurants, taxi fares, telephone calls, training courses and seminars, that's just to name a few. And each VAT authority does apply the rule differently. So for instance, in France, you can't recover restaurants. So that's just a nuance within France. And obviously there are certain others in various other jurisdictions, which we can talk about at a different time.
Okay, thanks, Brendan. And are there any deadlines that we need to consider when submitting VAT refunds?
Yes, and I think I'd like to take a little step backwards here, Katie, and just discuss the various mechanisms in place when we're looking at recovering VAT. So the 6th, 8th, and 13th directive are the mechanisms in play. 6th is commonly known as your domestic recoveries. These are done through submitting schedules with your quarterly filings to HMRC. Then we have the 8th and 13th directive. And I'll just like to discuss further what that is about. Essentially, this was the legislation which was brought in 1987 by the EU. And it was to incentivize business travel and just business in general within the single market and the jurisdiction within Europe. So just to elaborate further on the difference between the 8th and the 13th, the 8th directive centers around EU to EU spend. So let's just say the UK to Spain, UK for now, incurring costs on hotels, And that would essentially fall within the 8th directive legislation. Then the 13th directive legislation would mean a US business traveling to Germany for business incurring costs on similar services. And the difference between the two is that the 8th directive is an automated process and is streamlined to a sense. The 13th directive is a little more manual and requires a lot more paperwork and more compliance in terms of original documentation. So I'll get into the deadlines. And for 8th directive, we're looking at all the value incurred from January 1, 2018 to the 31st of December 2018. The EU obviously gives you a window up until September of 2019. So it's looming at the moment in which to submit them. That's a deadline for the 2018 period. Now, for the 13th directive, we have all costs for the calendar year of 2018. And these need to be submitted by June. Obviously, that's all passed. So we're now looking at all the costs for 2019, and we have up until June of 2020 to recover those. So then just to get onto a little bit of a nuance, yeah, the UK applies a different rule, and we tend to look at all costs from July 2018 up until June of 2019, and that needs to be submitted by December of this current year. So we still have time to do that for any businesses that travel into the UK and incur those costs.
Great, thanks for going into so much detail there, Brendan.
No problem.
So one of the other biggest questions that I tend to hear from a number of organisations is that they're looking into finance automation. And the biggest question is specifically around digital copies of receipts. So is it actually compliant to use digital copies of receipts, Brendan?
Yes, most definitely. And I think in the digital climate that we're working in, with the automation of all systems, it goes without saying that it's a global trend going forward with MTD making tax digital in the UK and various other EU VAT authorities jumping on board as well.
Okay. And lastly, can you reclaim VAT on mileage?
Of course. But I think it's also very critical to note that employees need to be very methodical when collecting their petrol receipts and documenting these accordingly. Digital software will manage this process from start to finish and obviously make sure that this is done in the most compliant way. So I think there's a study that I read not so long ago from Vanson and Bourne, or research study, that found that 54% of available VAT for mileage was not recovered from British businesses for the 2018 calendar year. And I think we're looking at a good 46% that's left on the table, and that can lend to quite a substantial saving and add to the bottom line for smaller businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. And based on more research, mileage isn't the only most common expense type. It's also the most fiddled. So I think it comes down to, as you said, employees needing digital software to help them manage their mileage capture.
Exactly. And like I said, it needs to be very methodical. I think it's essential to implement a system that mitigates mileage against being fiddled and safeguards businesses against penalties and overclaiming from their employees. And I think that's where SAP Concur comes in quite nicely.
Mm-hmm. And are there any other top tips that you would give to organisations around the UK regarding UK domestic VAT compliance?
Yes, there's a fortune. I could be here forever, but I'll start with a couple. And just number one, I think having the correct controls in place. I'll touch on this briefly. Process-driven rules to ensure that certain elements are always done. For example, a control would be to have a process that someone creates your VAT return and then someone reviews your VAT return. And that's to make sure that compliance is 100%. These are processes where you cannot move on to the next step until you engage in the operation process and all criteria are met. We can move on to number two, which is making sure you implement a reputable ERP and expense management system. I think this is on everyone's lips at the moment. There's a trend towards making tax digital, as I alluded to earlier, in most countries and globally for that matter. So no more is the case for spreadsheets and old school general ledgers. You need to have a proper accounting system, and the options there are options on the shelf that you can really buy and apply to your day-to-day running of your business that you should really affect the compliance of your processes. I really think you guys should look into these. There are various built-in compliance functionality as well. And then next, we can move on to understanding your supply chain. I think this is something which I think is really beneficial. And I think you can only identify potential compliance weaknesses or issues if you really understand your business from start to finish. So when you're trying to describe your business to someone, it would either be that you supply a good or that you supply a service. So if you're a goods business, you need to be able to understand what the supply chain is, where you're getting your stock from, where those goods going, and by clearly mapping out your full supply chain of either your service or your good, you'll be able to identify certain tax treatments that need to be applied to these various processes. You'll obviously be able to understand if there's exposure to any risk, and with that, you'll be able to make or take any necessary action if need be.
Thanks for covering some of those off, Brendan. I guess from an external compliance perspective, HMRC isn't the only one that pops up. With new rules and regulations, as well as areas of legislation that affect some part of all of UK's small businesses, the community continues to provide challenges and drive confusion. So Britain has what is considered the toughest anti-bribery laws in the world. So since 2010, paying bribes in cash, goods or entertainment to gain business is a criminal offence and carries unlimited fines and even up to 10 years imprisonment. And what constitutes a bribe may not always be obvious though, and expenses may easily be claimed for illegitimate spend. We also have the duty to report legislation, which was introduced in 2017. So LLPs have to report on a half-yearly basis on their payment practices, policies and performance. And that's for qualifying businesses that exceed two of the following areas. So either 36 million annual turnover, 18 million balance sheet total, or 250 employees. Moreover, in today's world, supplier invoice fraud is on the rise and becoming more sophisticated. And one of our customers in the charity sector, Devon Air Ambulance, actually came to Concur because they were being targeted by cyber fraud. So invoice phishing is becoming more sophisticated, and the charity found they needed an automated system that could help them enforce standard and consistent controls, minimising the risk of cyber fraud and error. Now that we've talked about external compliance, it's also important to look internally. Are there any areas of internal compliance that tend to crop up frequently at VAT IT?
Certainly. Internal issues are understanding what type of services domestically you can recover. You need to be aware of all the different systems and laws that are out there or coming up. Or there are different countries. We can't recover laundry in let's say the UK, for example. These things can be mitigated with outsourcing to reputable businesses that have the knowledge and have the R&D structures around really keeping abreast of the legislations.
Yeah, and I suppose it's difficult for smaller organisations that don't have an internal compliance expert. They need to select somebody to define a policy, keep it updated, and also reinforce it.
100%, and I agree totally. It's a great point.
So some of the challenges that we tend to come across is the approval of expenses. So a YouGov poll found that 20% of employees said it was acceptable to exaggerate expense claims for a range of different reasons. And whilst 99% of those managers are approving the expenses without question, the onus is clearly on finance to safeguard the policy against illegitimate claims. My top tips for tackling external and internal compliance would be to start with your policy. So a good expense policy covers what can and can't be reimbursed. It sets the ground rules for employees on what they should and shouldn't be spending on travel for the business and how you can expect them to spend the company's money. And a good invoice policy should be clear and to the point. It should cover how invoices should be handled, captured, stored, what to do with duplicate invoices, and how to ensure that suppliers are paid on time. remember that enforcing a policy can be emotional. Any change can come with resistance. Anticipate objections and explain why it is important for employees and the business to effectively manage employee expenses and supplier invoices. And try and put a system in place that can help streamline your employees' processes and include the policies, as it will enable them to focus on their more strategic tasks. Brendan, would you like to leave the listeners with your top tip?
Yeah, I'll keep it short and sweet, but I think the last tip from me is just to keep up to date with global news and really make use of the latest technology that's out there.
Lovely. Well, thanks very much for your time this afternoon.
It was a pleasure speaking with you, Katie.
Thank you all for listening. And thank you, Katie Brown from SAP Concur and Brendan Cohen of VAT IT for providing your expertise. I hope you all enjoyed this Financial Management Magazine branded podcast brought to you by SAP Concur. Goodbye.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. It is provided with the understanding that the association, its affiliates, and subsidiaries are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The association, its subsidiaries, and affiliates make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to and assume no responsibility for the content or application of the material contained herein and expressly disclaim all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.